Avodah Zarah, Perakei, Mishnah Yud Beis. Bezus Hashem, the last Mishnah in the Masechta. And we have to give a little bit of Hakdama. This is a whole sugya unto itself of Hagolas Kelim. We've been learning about Taruvis of Isurim, and we've always spoken about Taruvis of Macholois. And now we're going to talk about Taruvis that come from a Kli that's imparted from Kli into food that one eats, and that itself creates a problem. Now, if the mitzius is that one cooks trefa meat or any other food in a pot, there's particles of taste that are imbued in the walls of the pot, and then later on if a person would cook kosher macaroni, the taste of nevelis or whatever it is would become part of the macaroni. So l'chor, that's a mitzius. It's not a separate halakha, it's just another way of getting tam. You could take a little bit of yayin esrach and pour it into a taruvah, so you could get it from a kli. The would seem from the Torah that there's more going on than just the reality of a simple hechet timtza, that this is the way taste gets from location A to location B. The Torah gives hagolas kelim a separate entity unto its own. This is in the parsha of klei midyon. Klai Yisrael goes to Muhammad in Pashas Matois with Midian, and when they come back, there was a lot of loot, and they amongst other things, they brought back a lot of kelim. The Torah says, Zois Chukas HaTorah, this is in Perek Lamed Aleph, in Sefer Bamidbar, Zois Chukas HaTorah, Shetziva Hashem Es Moshe, Aches HaZahov, Ves HaKosov, Ves HaNecheshes, Ves HaBarzov, Ves HaBdil, Ves HaFores. These are the types of metals that have the dinim that are to be discussed. Zov, Kesem, Nechoshes are the primary valuable metals. Barzel is iron. Bedil is commonly translated as tin. Oiforis is lead. Koldova, Sheyovei, Boesh. Anything that was used in fire, any pot, any kli, utensil that was used and came into contact with tray for food, we're touching up the pasuk. Boesh, Taviru, Boesh has to be purified, what we call Hagola. Hagola means expunging. Getting rid of the bleas, the way one does it, is by putting it into the same medium that got in the taste, that's the way it comes out. B'loshon Chazal, kiboiloi, the way the pot swallowed the taste, kach poltoi, the way it expels the taste, is the same. So if it was yovei b'esh, it has to be tavir b'esh v'toher, ach b'mei nido yischato, which l'chari means only, mei nido normally refers to tumas mace, and Ramela has to come in order to be ois tome tumas meis. It has to be gespritzed with hazoas and medina, which normally refers to efer paru. Chazal lemaisa darshan over here, the Torah wouldn't have to say that. That's any kli, not to be gotten from midyon. The Torah wouldn't have to say it in this context. Chazal learned out that there's a separate tahara process, and this is a chiddush din. Most rishonim hold that it's a daraisa, and this is nan nasmachto, is what we call tvilas kelim. Tvilas kelim is any kli that was owned by a goy. It doesn't make a difference what it is. It has to undergo tvila. It has to become tohar. What is it? A new type of tahara? Not tohar. Not tuma from coming into contact with tuma, but tome in the fact that it's not Yiddish owned. That itself is choyse kedusha. And then the sefer of the pasuk says, v'chol asher the assumption is on certain things. It's not made out of metal, that it did not come into contact with fire. It can't come into contact with fire; it would burn. So, all you have to do is put it into water. There will be a smach over here also that if it didn't directly touch the fire, then one could be mitayer it. One can make hagolas kelim without coming into contact with the medium of fire. This is what we call the klal is keboiloi kach poltoi, the way the kli absorbed, keboiloi, that swallowed, so to speak, taste of iser, kach poltoi, the way it expels it, is the same intensity. If it's something that came directly in contact with heat, with fire, then it has to be expelled by fire. That's called libun, where the thing has to be heated up on the fire. If it came into contact with food, macaroni in a pot, the trefis, well, not macaroni, nevelis in a pot, the pot didn't come into contact through fire, the medium of fire. It came into contact with the trefa meat, with the medium of water, of cooking. So, really, you only have to get it out with water to kashroise the kli. We call that hagola. Kibayla kachpalti, there are two types of libun. There's libun kal, there's libun chomer. But that's the that's the klal, kabbalah kach poltei. The principle that we just said in the middle, called tfilas kelim, is something that's not discussed so much in the Mishnah, but the sugya dans barichus. The mashmos of the pasuk is that it's part of one process. L'chayru, one has nothing to do with the other. There's one thing that it has to undergo tefillah to be turned into a yiddish kli. There's another thing, getting rid of the taste. Some rishonim learn out from the way it's set up, and they see that in the sugyas, that part of being a goyish kli is a goyish kli with goyish blias, with treif blias. Therefore, if the pot still has the blias of treif meat, one can't put it in a mikveh, toivel it, and then kasher it. If it's not kasher, it's still goyish, and the tefillah won't work. Most Rishonim hold not that way. L'chor, one process has nothing to do with the other. L'moshel, if in a Yiddish kitchen, a fleishig pat got used for milchtik macaroni and cheese, it needs kashering, but it doesn't need tefillah, so clearly tefillah has nothing to do with that. But in the context of the parasha of Geulei Nochrim, of taste of treif for food, tefillah's kelum, the Pasha de Meshmah supposed would be part of that parasha. Again, according to most Rishonim, it's not ma'akev. Another point to make over here, and this is a very important point, is that this whole idea that if there's taste of goyish food in the walls of a kli, it asks the food, is very not so simple. And that is because we've explained earlier in the Masechta that there is a shita in the Rishonim. Ramban brings such a shita, Rashi and Chulin, Daf Tzadik Ches certainly holds that way, that tam, even if it's direct tam, that means somebody actually took a little bit treifus and put it into a pot. Put it into kosher food. Not as far as the walls of the pot are concerned. As far as the food is concerned, even if it's nice and tam, betzim des bittel beroiv, even by min she'en and biminoi. If that's the case, the taste that's in the walls of the kli can't be any worse. It's not going to azer up the food. Why do we care if the walls of the kli have treifa taste, even if you'd put treifa meat mamish, a minute amount, obviously, less than a roiv, into the pot, it wouldn't answer. How could taste that's in the walls of a pot be any less? So the Rishonim say, according to Rashi, and there's an important principle, that the halacha of kashering a kli is not only a hechet timtze to get rid of the blias in the wall of the pot. This way, the pot doesn't, the taste in the walls of the pot doesn't aser up the food inside. It's more than that. A goyish pot is a chalois on the kli, and there's a gzeres hakos, and one's not allowed to use it. One's not allowed to use a treif for pot. You want to know, will it aser the food b'di'evid? According to Hashem, the tam kik is lav deraisa, they're not. We'll give another example of the same idea. This is very relevant halacha l'maisa. Most people wouldn't use a goyish pot with impunity. However, there's a halacha that the taste in the walls of a pot can only be considered as imparting non-kosher taste to aser up food only if it's a ben yoimoy, only if the pot wasn't used within 24 hours. Why does the Torah have to tell them to go through agolas kelim? Why doesn't the Torah just say wait 24 hours on everything? You know for sure that nothing was used within 24 hours, and then you can use everything with impunity. Why have to kasher kelim? So the halacha is that there's a din derabonon that Chazal asked up the same way you're not allowed to use a kli within 24 hours because it can ask the food, even if it doesn't ask the food, and b'di'evad taka won't ask the food. If a treifa spoon or knife is used to stir macaroni or soup, it doesn't ask up the food, but one's not allowed to. Pasha said din derabanan. But if we hold that every time ke'ikir it doesn't ask the food, so then clearly the nature of this halacha is not because of the food, it's because one's not allowed to use the kli. And clearly, on some level, this halacha is deiraisa because it's a pasuk mafurish. Even if you hold time kik alav deiraisa, we still have a pasuk that you have to make hagolas kelim. So this is a very big chiddush, and it's an important point. It supports, to a certain extent, the idea that a goyish kli, the treifa food that's absorbed in the walls, is a goyish kli, and the taste of the food would render it a goyish kli, even if after you atoivel the tefillah wouldn't work. This would support that sheet. Rishonim, but lemaisa, most Rishonim don't hold of that. And now let's learn the Mishnah. Halakech kli tashmish menoiv kechavim. Somebody who buys any type of utensil that's used for food preparation or food eating from a goy, eshedarke lahatvil, anything which does not need any type of hechsher, because it wasn't used in any way that absorbed taste. Yatpil, he makes tefillas kelim, and that's it. Now, there is another way of reading the Mishnah, is that the word darker, lahatpil, doesn't mean darker to dip into the mikveh. It's not darker, that's what you need. It's not darker. Darker lahatpil means it's a type of kli that's not used with hot food. It's not a hot food. There's no way that it would have came to contact with hot food. So what is it? It might have some grease, some grime on it. So wash it off. The darker lahatpil over here, poshut means take soap and water and wash it off. Take a sponge, make sure there's no grime, there's no ben on it. Please, you don't have to worry about it. It's not used as such. Some Rishonim, even boy from the Mishnah, that if it's something that is generally not used with heat, you don't have to be choshish for the heat. Now, if we say that this is a gzeres hakosuv, so then you can say that a kli that's generally not used as such doesn't have a gzeres hakosuv that you can't use it even if it absorbed non-kosher taste. Otherwise, you'll have to say you're not mechuyev to be choshish for it. Lahagil, any kli that was used, well, that's darkoi, to be used in contact with heat, either by stirring in a pot or mamish on a fire. Yagil, hagolo over here means it came into contact with hot food or hot liquid. So you need hagolas kelim with hot water. Water boiled to a rolling boil, and then you put the spoon in. So then what you're doing is you're kashering out the taste. Kebolo kachpoltoi. If, by the way, it only came into contact, not with hot water in a pot, or not with hot food direct, but only with hot water that was poured out of a pot. There's a lessening of intensity when it's poured out of a pot. We call that iri klirishin. Shabbos also, there's a lessening of the ability to make bishul. So if the hagblia was only derech iri klirishin, then the plato, the hagolas kelim, works as well with kabbalah kach paltoi. Lelabin ba'ur. Something which is the derech lelabin means to be heated up. When the heat is intense, it turns white. So heating something up is called lelabin. So if it's mamish kad hat, so then it absorbs derech the fire, and then it has to be taken out. Without the water, the heat is more intense, and therefore you need the libun to be directly taking out the taste without the medium of the water. So then yelabin ba'ur. What's that? What comes in direct contact with trefis? Derech a fire without the water medium. Hashpud. Hashpud is the sharp fork or something like that you poke the meat that's on a fire. Askalo is the metal frame, like the rack that you put the tray for food on. Milabnon ba'ur. Those you have to do libun. Now, l'chayr, the mission didn't have to be mefaret. And he had derech b'mayim is b'mayim, and it's b'esh is b'esh. Well, why does the mission have to be mefaret? When you're making a barbecue, the rack and the tongs and the spit, why does the mission have to be mefaret? The Mefarshim over here bring, the Rishonim really say, the Mishnah is coming lafuke, a Mishnah in Zvachim. We'll learn Mitzvah Hashem soon, Zvachim. There's a din also where you need hagola. Kalim that were used to cook basa kochim, so now after a day or two, the meat becomes noisor. The tam of the basa kochim that's balua in the kelim also becomes nicer and it has to be gotten rid of. Over there, even that which was directly on the fire, even though batsim should need libun, over there it only needs hagola. What's hakad pshat? We'll speak it out even though it's pshat in the Mishnah and Zvachim, but it's important for our understanding, is that the tam that we're talking about by us is tam iser. We're talking about things that were gotten from goyim. A person goes to a hotel room or he rents an Airbnb and he goes someplace and there's goyish kelim. So he has to get rid of all the tam, but what we're talking about kelim that are balua with tarfis mamish. However, over there, the tam that's in the walls of the kelim is tam heter. When it went into the kelim, it was tam heter. It was kochim, that was mutter b'achila. Tam heter always has, even though batsim, the intensity of the heat, the intensity of the absorption of the heat is the same, but the koyach that it has to give out, to give forward into something that you're eating, the tam habalua is less. This is the source of what we call nat bar nat, which is an abbreviation for noisin tam barm noisin tam. It's called a secondary nesinas tam, which means, l'moshul, somebody stirred a pot of macaroni with cheese with a fork. So it was hot, and the fork definitely absorbs taste, but the taste that it absorbs is a shvacher taste, because it's not a tam iser. This fork now is not osir, it's milchig. Now that milchig touches something, it touches some other food, which is parv. Does that food become milchig that if it's eaten with flesh? No. Because since the tam that the fork absorbed wasn't a tam iser, the taste that it imparts to something else, that, let's say a piece of fish that you ate with that fork, the fish does not absorb that to the point of becoming milchig. So it will not be also to eat with fleshig. So on. There's a lot of examples to that, but just for Pshat the Mishnah, we mentioned it. Hasakin, a knife, is shofo. This is a knife that he bought from a goy. So we're talking about a knife which is not used with heat. The knife is generally used to cut something cold. But you can't just wash it off, because since the knife is used with pressure, what we call durka de sakina, there's a minimal amount of absorption, not real absorption, but there's absorption of shock, not of heat. So how do you get rid of absorption? You can't just wash it off. That minimal amount of absorption, we have a new mahalach. You stick it in the ground. Shofa means to stick it in the ground. The force of the knife going into the ground deabsorbs. It's mafla at the time, which is below in the knife. Vihi tohira, and then you can use it. And again, to mention that normally if somebody buys a kli from a goy, or if somebody comes into, like we said, a hotel or an Airbnb, generally speaking, Loshna Gemara, Stam Kelim Enim B'nei Miyonim, they weren't used in the immediate 24 hours. If that's the case, the taste that's balua in the walls of the kli is definitely Tam Pogum. It definitely will not asser up the food that's cooked in those pots. One does not have to throw out the food. Despite that, the halacha is one's not allowed to cook in the pot. So we said, L'chertz and Nisid Rabbanan. But there's a smach to it from the Rishonim that hold that Tam Ki'ikir anyways would not serve up the food. V'afilohachi, the Torah said you have to make Hagolas Kelim. That would seem to say that Hagolas Kelim goes beyond just the fact that the food is going to be absorbed or will absorb the taste of the pot. Let's share with the Elam one Hergish I just had now learning these Mishnayis. We just learned now Mishnayis that are about absorption of taste of food, of Nais and Tam. It's really not a halacha that shaykh to Masechta Avodah Zarah. The Masechta started and continues with the halachas of Avodah Zarah, which Avodah Zarah is poigim be'ikri adas. A person who's an Avodah Zarah, Rachman al-Slan, has no relationship with the Rebbein Shalom. He believes in something else. In the middle, along the way, we had a lot of overlap between that which is osur and mutter and that which is goyish. A lot of things that Chazal asur, they asur because they wanted to keep Klal Yisrael away from goyim. In absorption of goyish values and mores and culture and behaviors, there's a lot of subtle levels. There's different levels, and they all have to be stayed away from. It's very easy for us to absorb levels and layers and nuances of chukas hagoyim. This whole mesechta is a zamin hagolas kelim, that our kelim to serve the Rebbein Shalom should be pure. Rebbein Shalom should give us the siyat tishmaya to serve him v'tayar libeinu la'avdecha be'emes. Chosam shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'emes. The world of umas ha'olam is sheker. So v'tayar libeinu, the tahara of the hagolas kelim of our hearts, of our kelim for avodas Hashem, is tahara la'avdecha be'emes, be'ezras Hashem. With that, Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to start Maseches Avos, which is going to give us, not like the regular Masechta, the do's and the don'ts, the hows and the how not to's, but Maseches Avos will purify our hearts and our feelings and our minds with the values of Chachomenu Zatzal, of the Torah Gdeisha, of the Rebbein Shalom.